another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is the Boop Show episode 265. It's November 23rd, 2020. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Boop Show. It has been a week because I went out of town. We didn't do a show last week, so suck it up.
Oh, we didn't do a show? I thought I did a show.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. I was gone, man. Did you miss me while I was gone, or did you just like, whatever. It's fine.
Dude, of course I miss you. Every time you're not, every day, every minute that I'm not with you is like,
it's hell. It's hell, isn't it? It's hell.
It is. It's horrible.
I feel you. But I did enjoy the company of my wife for a week away. We haven't done that in like 3 years and definitely haven't done anything in COVID. And so it was a nice thing, but it meant a lot of shows didn't get made. And this was one of them. So we regret the air, but we're back and
gotta take a break. If you don't take a break, you're going to get burned out.
That's right. I don't want to burn out.
That makes Scott a dull boy.
Ain't nobody want to burn out.
Nope.
I want to show.
Oh, no, I kind of like Burnout. Burnout's pretty good.
Oh, Burnout Paradise, though. That's the game you want.
Yes,
those other ones. Three's okay. It's okay. But Paradise eclipsed all those other games. Here's the funny thing. Right before I left, got an Xbox Series X.
That's great.
Thanks to the help of an awesome fan who had two pre-orders and said, hey, I got two pre-orders. I don't need two. I'd sure like to have someone else buy my second pre-order. He was just trying to, like, you know, make sure he had boxes on day one.
Right, right, right.
And he got his, and then his second one, he's like, all right, I got mine. You want me to forward this to you? I said, sure. Here's your money. I paid him.
Man. And, there are so many people that hate you right now. How many times I sat on the Walmart reloading, refreshing, telling those bots to bite it?
Yeah. They're hard. And that's the other thing, is that system and the PlayStation 5, for that matter, really hard to find right now. Like, pert near impossible.
You know what I did?
What'd you do?
I went to Walmart.
Oh. What'd you get at Walmart?
Just like, I was just there. I was just at Walmart. And I'm like, well, you know, yeah, you miss 100% of the Xboxes you don't go ask for. And so I went back there, and I'm looking for a representative. And I'm like, nobody's here. And I look, and I'm like, that looks like one of those Xbox Series S's.
Ooh,
there's an X back there. Mm. I'm like, I want an X. I don't want the S. I want an X.
Yeah. What'd they say? Did they say no? Or what'd they do?
No, the guy came by and he opened the case up and he pulled out the S and was looking at it, reading, and said, oh, wow, I didn't know we had these. I didn't even know we even got them in. He's like, yeah, well, I don't see any of the Series X. And so my loving fiance comes up and goes, is that the one you want? I said, no, not really. Well, do you want that one? Yeah. Yeah, I do.
I've been there before. I know.
I didn't think I wanted it, but when he pulled it out of the case, I was like, I guess,
take it.
I figure if nothing else, I could hang on to it for a little bit, you know, get one of the kids later or sell it, you know, until the X comes out. The more I read, the more I'm like, oh, thank God I went ahead and did it because,
nobody can get either very easily. The S's and the X's are both pretty scarce. The PlayStation 5 in the same boat, both versions of that thing are pretty scarce. And it's funny because both companies had said, especially Sony had said up front, we expect zero delays and no big gaps of time where you won't be able to get one, especially ahead of the holidays. But not so fast, Sony, you tricky bastards. There was a lot of scalping, so once again, you know, a-holes go and buy a ton of them, try to pawn them off on eBay for way too much money. That sort of stuff always happens, but
I was talking to my friend who wants an Xbox Series X at work, and I was talking to him about this. I have done absolutely zero research, and you may know the answer, but I really only think the way you could stop it is for the companies who are selling it. This is my opinion. You can go ahead and tell me how wrong I am. Mm. If you just tell them to make an agreement during the sale, just like tickets, just like regular tickets, if you sell it for a profit, then that's scalping and that's illegal. It's already in there, right?
Right.
So, I mean, can they not make an agreement when you purchase it that you're not going to be reselling it? And if you do, that the reseller would be like, you know, at least partially you know, like eBay or whatever could. I mean, I know I'm probably oversimplifying it. It just seems like they're not doing anything. I mean, I know that that wouldn't fix it, but it feels like nobody's doing anything.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It would have to be because we live in a free market system. There would have to be some sort of hard choice by a platform
like ticket
holder.
Scalping.
Well, yeah, but they'd have to be like eBay would have to be able to say, or they would have to say and enforce a policy that would be, look, if you're scalping stuff on here, if we see any of these for more than the $4.99 that they're supposed to be, then we're shutting down your account and we're freezing everything you have going. Like that would be, they would have to do that as a corporate choice because lawfully there's nothing out there that says you can't do this, as far as I know. Like
Right. That's why I'm saying you'd have to put it in place. But I think there's already precedent in other areas that you could do that with. I think you could find a way. But something needs to be done, right? Just it's something more than nothing, because nothing is what's happening right now.
Yeah, but it only happens every console cycle. So there's nobody in government that's like chomping at the bit about console.
What about the last 2 years of graphics cards?
Well, that's a good point. The Bitcoin
thing, I had to fight that this time around too.
Yeah, you still can't find the card you want.
Actually, I got a 1660 Ti just arrived before the show.
That's a good card. That's an okay card.
It is fine. A 1660 Ti is the equivalent of a 1080.
Yeah.
I paid about $250 for it. It's brand new.
Think you did fine.
I'm fine until the next thing comes along. I was looking at the statistics. I was looking at the performance. Because since I couldn't get the Xbox Series X or the PlayStation, I wanted something that could at least let me play some of these games, and I think it's just going to be about equivalent to those consoles.
Yeah, you're probably right. Power-wise. You're going to be fine. I wouldn't worry about it. Well, I can tell you that I've really enjoyed the X so far, but again, I was gone for a week, so I was bummed. I should have taken it with me, because when I got to this timeshare thing we have, they've got all the hookups, HDMI hookups that you need for like these Samsung TVs that are all over the place and that thing. I could have totally done that and had that thing there. And even Kim was like, why didn't you do that? It'd have been great. I just didn't think about it. So I had to let it sit like, here.
Then you could have got out of my space for 5 seconds.
That's true. But I did install. I let it install a bunch of shit behind the scenes while I was gone.
Oh, yeah.
And it just quietly did that. I got back and boom, they were all installed and ready to go. Zero issues, zero problems, easy as cake. I really like it so far. Already a massive value having Game Pass Ultimate, which now includes EA Play, which includes the PC side, which includes cloud gaming, like all this stuff being there on day one. Is it the same as having a must-have game that like takes advantage of this generation of hardware? Maybe not. But
were you coming from the 1S, or do you even have an Xbox?
No, I didn't do the one at all. Skip that whole gen for Xbox. And I had had a PlayStation, loved it, and I believe that was definitely Sony's rightful generation. They won that one fair and square, and they did it for lots of reasons. But I've never seen Microsoft this competitive and interested in long haul value. Like the Game Pass value is enormous. Like it's enormous to the point where it's almost like we're ripping them off a little bit. I'm fine with that.
And how long are they going to let us do that? That's what I always ask myself. I'm like,
I mean, you have to ask that question, right? Like, is it too good to be true? How long will it last? It seems like this is the plan forever. This is their Netflix plan. This is what they want to do.
Right. And problem with Netflix is I was paying $9.99, and the last time I looked, I'm paying $17.99.
It's possible, right? Like we could get to a place where they suddenly go, it's, you know, in the year 2023, Game Pass Ultimate is now $20. You know, I don't know. I don't know. So it does kind of paint them into a corner. Whether they get stuck in that corner or not, I don't know. But as it stands,
I'm going to say one more thing about my Xbox Series
please,
S.
Please do.
And I'm going to shut up about it.
All right, okay. Go ahead.
I had Xbox One S.
Yeah.
Right? That was like the mid-console refresh they did.
Yeah.
The games I've been playing so far, not a big difference. So it's okay.
Well,
but I wasn't planning on that because I kind of knew that about this Series S going in.
Well, right. Here's what you need to know. Unless the game is okay. Let's say you had a game that struggled that only would do 30 frames per second on the previous
team. Right.
Chances are you're going to be running at 60 or better now, or at the very least running at a resolution higher than you used to be able to. In your case, 1440p as opposed to
44. Yeah, right.
In my case, 4K. So that's pretty immediate. some existing games are massively faster. Like I played No Man's Sky yesterday just to see how that ran. Freaking smooth as a buttery, buttery smoothie butter of butter.
Have you seen a Series S in real life?
I've not seen a Series S in real life. No, I know they're small. They're little tiny guys, right? Yeah. Do you have it right there? Yeah, hold on. I mean, Brian's going to hold up his.
I got like two little cables plugged in this. This is really simple. Hold on a second.
All right. Let's see your X-boner.
X-boner.
Dude, while you're doing this, people listening at home, Brian's chair has massage pads on it, and that looks awesome.
Yeah, baby.
Okay, there it is.
And don't you forget it.
Where'd you get this transistor radio? I want to see the Xbox.
Look at that. Right. That's just it.
It's little.
That's the whole thing.
Now, how do you hold it? Do you lay it flat or you have it on its end? What do you do?
I lay it like this.
Okay. So for those at home, flat.
Yeah. And the depth is almost exactly the same size as my 1S was. It's just not
right
as deep.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I'm actually impressed with the size of both these things. They're made too much of the idea that they're huge. Or in the X's case, that it's huge. It's monolithic in design, but it's not that big. Like, it's not
right.
I didn't come close to my PC tower, but it fits beautifully where my TV is. I think the controller's awesome. Feels great. Very impressed so far. And I haven't had to spend $70 on a new game. I have a flood of other video games to play on that thing.
Yeah.
Most of them are on Game Pass, some of which are just stuff I already owned that I bought over the years. So they're just sitting there waiting for me to play them. Like, that part of this value proposition so far is coming true. I've also had no glitches or issues or problems or anything funky. Everything's been great.
Yeah. Mine's been smooth as butter. I was kind of underwhelmed though, because the Minuan system, all the same thing as my Series S. I mean, everything just looked exactly like I just turned my 1S back on.
Would you ever other than performance, obviously, but would you have preferred to like hop into that thing?
A new layout.
New UI, man. Woo.
Yeah, you know, I say I would be so excited about it, but then I also hate it every time they do that. So it's kind of like, but it would make me feel better. You know, it made me feel like, oh, look, I'm next gen now, baby.
Here's how you need to think of it. It's like getting a new PC. Windows 10 doesn't look any different.
You're right.
And that's kind of where they're headed. Like,
yeah,
they're headed really down this path of what if these things were more let your games play in perpetuity? They just sort of kept playing generation to generation. What if 20 years from now, whatever your Xbox is playing the games you bought 20 years ago, because it just does. What if that happened, sort of thing? So we'll see.
What do you think about the controller?
I like it great. I like it fine. Mine's dark. Mine's black.
Yeah, that's the.
It's fine. It's a lot like the last one. I have, I do have an Xbox One controller, and I have this new controller. They're both the same color. So, like you're holding up. So I'm able to compare them, you know, next to each other. I can tell a difference in terms of just some subtle stuff. D-pad on the new one's way better.
Yeah.
Sticks are about the same. Triggers feel similar, although maybe a little less sloppy on the new one. It's a good controller, but what's nice is now
a good controller.
I don't have to go out and buy another controller because my second controller can just be the Xbox One controller and it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I like they add the share button in the record, kind of like you have on the PlayStation.
Yeah.
I was glad about that. I'm not glad that my old charge pack doesn't work with this because I had a couple of those. And so now I got to get one specifically. That's not it.
I just use the double A's. I don't care.
I use a charger, and I have this cool docking station. I'll show it to you here too. These are these cool little docking stations Sea of Thieves. And so that was let's see, I'm gonna focus here. We go. I really like that. I enjoy it. It has its own battery pack, so you just put it in the back of any controllers and you just slap it on there.
Yeah.
And I was hoping I could do that with this, but
I didn't realize they changed that. I assumed they would be the same packs. I just never worried about it.
I did too.
I mean, I should say the new controller is USB-C, which everything should be from now on.
Yes.
So thank you for that. No more micro USB. I'd rather kiss a donkey than use another micro USB ever in my life. I hate them. Anyway.
Why a donkey?
I don't know. A diseased donkey. How about that? Does that make it better?
A diseased donkey.
Definitely makes it better. Anyway, that's kind of what we've been up to. Now, games.
Are we going to talk about video games too?
Yeah, we're going to do both. We're going to do both. That's the rule. And the rule is we start with me and my first pick of the week. It's very indie. It's very cool. And just so happens to be a Switch game. Speaking of things that are not what we talked about at all here today. I needed a good game to play on the road for this trip. I wanted to, you know, chill out a lot. And part of that is me sitting on a couch or whatever. I went, so for those who don't know, I went way out in the desert in a town in southern Utah called St. George. If you've ever been there, you'll know what it is. If you haven't, it's like an hour outside of Vegas. We did not go to Vegas because COVID times and all that. But normally we would down there because it's like an hour. Just drive out there and be in Vegas.
Makes sense.
But I love it there. Red rocks everywhere. Just great big cliffs overlooking the town and all the homes and everything. It's just a beautiful place to be. And I always loved being there. Anyway, went and did that. And part of the trip was, well, hey, what about downtime where I might have some video game time? I didn't bring a console other than my Switch Lite. So I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to grab a game. And I'm going to grab it because NintendoLife.com recommended a game.
And I thought, Nintendo Life, Sid.
They really liked it. And I thought, well, I like them sometimes. I trust their reviews typically. The game I decided to check out is a game called Dungreed. Dungreed. Now you
Dungreed.
May
Dungreed.
Yeah, you may D-U-N. Not like right. Dun.
Just like my last name, D-U-N. Gotcha.
Yeah, like done away, right. Dungreed, right. The word greed. And if that sounds like a game where you're maybe in a dungeon and you're getting greedy things like
and looting.
Yeah, and looting, getting gold and whatever. Yeah. Well, you'd be correct. That is exactly what this is. Now, this is another roguelite. Don't hate us or turn off the podcast. Let me hear me out. I know that we talk about a lot of these. I know I play a lot of these between, you know, games like Rogue Legacy and what's the one where you run and do stuff? Oh, Spelunky.
you played it before, the run and do stuff game.
Yeah, games where you run and also do stuff. Well, it's one of those. Okay, it's a side scroller. It's kind of retro graphics, all that stuff. It's very much in that vein. Its mechanics are also chop and slash and hack and whatever. Build up your little home base as you die, but bring back money and spend money and resources on having a better home base, which means better skills and perks, and then go out and do another run, get further and beat the bosses. All of the stuff you've heard 1,000 times since maybe Rogue Legacy till today, that's what this game is. However, normally I'd say, boring, I've played this before. I also have maybe other versions of this that I would like more or whatever. I found this to be utterly wonderful. And I don't know what the secret sauce is, except it feels really good. And the loop is extremely satisfying. And I also like that there's a lot of choice when you go into a battle. If you've earned a bunch of gold, you can kind of say, you know what? I'm going in with a sword and a shield this time. Or I'm going in with this amulet that gives me plus 30 to life. Or I'm going to bet, whatever. You can build out these builds basically before you enter and do things. So in a way, it's a little bit like Hades, which is all the rage at the moment. Right. In Hades. That way.
Gotcha.
The rest of the game plays a lot like, you know, randomly generated level Castlevania / Metroid style, you know, that kind of game. And it's got this delightful little story and these characters, like this guy I'm talking to on the screen right now. His name is Yulford, and he sort of teaches you all your shit. And when you come back to town, he helps you. Right now, he's shitting out a bunch of swords for you to try.
Oh my gosh, yeah. That is a lot of swords. It's Why are there so many swords?
It's too many swords, really. But he only gives you one, which is kind of a bummer. And then you go and try to figure out what this mysterious cave is that keeps opening. And this cave opens and sucks you into the world, and then you got to go fight in there. And it's random every time you go fight. It's never the same. So all the levels are, you know.
Do you have a pet corgi? What is that?
You have a dog, although right now the dog doesn't come with me, but I understand that I eventually will find a certain kind of bone or something that will make him come with me. And so some kind of bone. I don't know how. There's some hints as to what bone I need. It's very generous with the money you earn, so it's very quick to say, oh, well done, you did a thing, here's 700 gold to go spend on whatever you want. It's challenging and hard, a little bit of bullet hell happens occasionally with some of the enemies, not too bad, but a little bit. Obstacles to get over, a lot of platforming, that sort of thing. The longer you go, obviously, the more money you can walk out of there with. Anything you picked up on the run, like a new weapon or a piece of armor, or some other temporary thing that help boost your abilities, that gets left in the cave. The cave does not let you take that stuff out of there. However, all the cash goes with you. And when you take the cash with you, oh, and some relics and stuff like that, you also rescue people in here that will then give you a new shop to use. Like, oh, I rescued Madam Fartknuckler and she runs the local apothecary. So now I have her stuff, you know, that sort of thing.
Right.
That's not her name, just for the record. It's not Fartknuckler at all.
Are you sure? Oh, can I ask you this?
Yeah.
What? This guy's playing. I haven't seen him die yet. What's the penalty for death?
Dead. You're dead. You go back home. Dead. You lose all your stuff that you gathered. You take your gold back. And then you spend your gold. Oh, this is a bad example because right here you're also talking. Sometimes mid-level there's a lady who will sell you stuff. And that's what's happening to her.
Horerica.
Hernerica or whatever her name is.
Horerica.
Yeah, Horerica. It's our new... when we add
her last name is Erica, first name whore.
Yeah, she's a whore named Erica. Anyway, she sells food, this like stat boost stuff. I never buy it because it's expensive. It's like $400 for a plate of goo or whatever, so I don't do it. The other game that may have some similarities here, because I know you played it, was Fury Unleashed. There's some of the structure of that here. Lots of ease of teleportating around to places you've already been. That sort of stuff. It ramps up slowly. Always more gold popping out of something, which I just love the feeling that I'm always making progress. You know, all that kind of stuff. That's the game. And boy, howdy, did I get hooked on playing this and had to recharge my Switch twice as a result because I ran out of juice. And it's just a very cool little weird take on all this that I just think is a successful one. And it really focuses on the parts of these games that you care about. Like, is it fast? Is it fun? Do I want to go back in? Did I have something better than I came out with? Like all of those things, they feel like they're heightened a little bit so that you're never down. There's no downtime in this game. And I like it. So I'm going to recommend it. It is available on Steam as well. So Switch, Steam, possibly coming to other platforms. Not sure. But I got it on the Switch.
This is a Switch game for me. I can see it right now. How much are you paying for that
thing? $15 for this thing. $15. Came out in October. I hadn't heard about it until recently. So it's a bit of a hidden gem. The developer is Nicalis. Developer's Team Hooray. Publisher is Nicalis or Nicalis. I'm not sure how you say it.
Hooray!
And it's rad. I mean, it's basic in a lot of ways, but they just hit all the right points.
The loop looks good. Oh, what is this? Musical note ghost.
Yeah, those are no fun. You don't want to get hit by the musical notes. Those are bad. Also, this guy's...
are they farting? Isn't that like the... musical notes of the butt, farts are
like a brown, like a brown note sort of thing. Sure, why not? Never forget your gold, by the way. There's way more gold in each of those coins than you think. I think they're 10 gold per coin, plus when they send out the bars, it's like 100 per bar. Like, you can make big bank in your run on this thing. So anyway, I really like it, and I hope they do well with it because it seems very neat. Derivative, sure, but
why not?
You know, sometimes a good derivative copy is good. You know, if they can do a good job of replicating what you like about a genre or whatever and do it for $15, who am I to say no?
There's a reason why they call it, you know, different genres like this, that you just find the one that fits you. It's the right speed. You die the right amount of times. It's all about it.
That's right. And maybe that's true of Rune 2 Decapitation Edition. Tell me about that game.
Rune 2 Decapitation Edition. So you may have heard about this last year, around December or so. The publisher Ragnarok Games was bringing back a sequel to Rune. I don't know if you ever played that back in the day. They were working with a studio called Head Games. It was something like that. Anyway, there was a falling out. It didn't end well. It didn't end well for the publisher and the developer. And so the developer spent the last year with their own in-house developer fixing everything, as they claim, from where the previous developer had really just kind of left them high and dry with no support and no access to the no proper access to the source code. Anyway, it was an interesting game because of all this backstory to it. And I was curious to see what was going to happen. This released for Steam. On November the 13th, 2020. It's been on the Epic Game Store for almost a year. If you had it on the Epic Game Store, I think you get access to the Decapitation Edition automatically.
Yes. I had it on that's that. Where I had it, or I've had it for a while from a code on Epic. It wasn't, but back in some of the earlier production days, it wouldn't run for me. There was all kinds of technical issues. So I just forgot I had it. And then the day it launched, I got a note or an email or something that said, by the way, your version on Epic is now the full decapitation edition.
Yeah. And so there's a lawsuit going on between those two right now. So I'm a little bit concerned that the publisher may get a little too distracted, but lo and behold, they have not. They've been updating a lot since they released. They had a lot of bugs, and there was a when they released it, I'll be honest with you. The first time I played it, I was like, no, this is too ganky. But I played it like day one.
Yeah, it was very janky in the early days. Yeah.
It was very janky, and I was not having fun. But they just kept acting like they kept communicating and, you know, telling us they were fixing things that we were asking for as gamers. By the way, this is an action RPG, if you didn't know.
Yeah, I was going to say, we should probably say what kind of game this is. It's like a behind-the-shoulder, you know, not Diablo, but more like a third-person action RPG.
Third-person action RPG.
It's not really Souls-like. I wouldn't call it like Dark Souls or anything.
No, in a set in Midgar, you are a Viking warrior who has died, and your spirit is pulled back into here in Midgard to take on Loki. That's right, Loki is causing mischief, as he does, and so it's your job to do a little bit of collecting things, a little bit of survival, where you're collecting, you know, wood and stone and crafting items like armor from, you know, you'll chase down some deer. They're not too smart, and you can smash them with a big giant hammer. Yeah, I enjoy
those,
that, actually.
You got to get those deer, dude. Yeah.
What's that?
You got to always get the deer. If you don't get the deer, what are you even doing?
You got to get the deer. Now, what you're watching right now is the starter island, where you go and you learn how to basically handle everything. You'll notice the character has this big giant hammer, which I love. It's like it's very satisfactory to smash things with that big giant hammer.
Mm-hmm. My only complaint with that stuff, it looks okay, moves okay. Well, I don't know if it moves okay. Things are a little floaty, you know, like it feels like you're skating. You're not really walking.
Okay, so right, and so that's one of the things they're working on. So there's even a setting in the settings for to adjust that. So if you feel like things are floating too much, they're still working on nailing that down, and I'm not going to say a bad word about what they're doing unless they stop. Because right now, every time there's a crap piece in the game, they fix it and make it better, and have done so far, and have been very, you know, been doing a lot of communication. And the moment they stop is the moment, if this game isn't where it needs to be, I'm going to go, this is a crap game. Until then, I'm going to keep going. This game has a pretty good bit of potential. I had a lot of fun while I played it. I kept coming back wanting to play it, even with the gankiness.
My problem is I tried to fire it up the same week that Valhalla came out, the Assassin's Creed.
Yes. If you're already in Valhalla, you're probably going to be like, I don't want to see this. But I wasn't doing that. You know, this is before Valhalla came out, just like a hot second. And so I started on this first because I was just wanting to get in. And once I got in, I was like, I don't know if I want to play Assassin's Creed. I don't know if I want to do Valhalla right now, because I'm afraid that I'll ruin my good time. I'm actually having a good, fun time with this Rune 2 Decapitation Edition right now.
Have you actually decapitated anything, is my question?
Oh, actually, that's one of the fun things of this game. You do. You smash people with your hammer. You knock their heads off. You knock their arms off. You can pick up their arms. You can beat the next guy with it. I mean, this is a tongue-in-cheek kind of game. It's not grotesquely too much gore, but there is gore. Kind of like how I felt like Quake was. You know, it's like, oh, you know, I just smashed something, but it wasn't like, you know, we didn't linger. We just picked it up and kept going.
Yeah.
Right? You're just like, okay, destroyed that to death, and now move on to the next area.
Yeah, so, no, I get it. I think it has some potential. Like, graphic engine is okay. Again, a little slidey. The freaking shadows are shitty. There's some problems, but it's all stuff that could be refined and worked on.
Right. And the person who's playing right now has it at some really crappy settings, because you'll see this complaint if you go to the Steam store page, that it's like, oh, the rendered stuff that we're seeing on Steam doesn't look like the stuff that I'm playing. And it's because they've turned some of that stuff off, and you can turn some of it back on and not all of it. And like I said, they're still moving in the right direction. As long as they keep doing that and I'm still having fun, I'm going to keep playing it. And I haven't even got to some of the more fun parts. You can do PvP. You got these little, you'll get plopped in these little rooms, and, you know, eight people can hop in and you just run around and there's all kinds of just armor. So you just basically just pop into a room. There's armor and you just run around and grab whatever you can and you just start fighting it out. Deathmatch. You know what I'm saying? Just
yeah. You fought anybody yet? Fun. You done that? You gone in there and fought people?
Yeah. Oh yeah. And I won too, baby.
So there's a, so people are playing it. They're people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. I mean, it's not where it's like, oh, every server is full, but it's also like, I haven't seen any empty, just flat out nobody playing at any time so far that I've been playing. Like
okay.
I said,
okay,
the coming weeks and the months is really going to tell. I mean, I think people are just, they're barely hanging on. They want to believe. And it's like, as long as you keep feeding us something, we'll keep playing. But as soon as it, you know, as soon as they even look away, it's like, all right, we're out.
It's got right. Crafting business in there, right? You make stuff, make shit.
Yeah, I love the crafting, actually. The crafting's not too bad. And the building has got building stuff. So you go to different camps to get your quest. When you get to the camp, you can reinforce the camp because usually the camps are already destroyed because of Loki. And you got to help restore the order, get rid of that chaos out of there. And so you'll build towers. And the building's real simple. It's just the, you know, you just walk up and it's got levels of building. So, like, if you had the supplies, you just go bonk. And, you know, and then like the frame is built and you go bonk. And then like the next piece is built and it just, you can just, you know, it's very simple building. It's not like you're standing there going talk, 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 talk. It's just, you know, you hit it and you go. Now, a couple of things that have been really rough. Like the first day I played, I was like so pissed because the tree fall damage was outrageous, which is fun if you hit the tree right and you kill an opponent. It's really cool, but you got to be real careful because I got smashed by trees plenty of times. Plenty of times.
So wait, just chopping them down and they fell on you after you chopped them?
Yeah, because you'd be behind them and you'd chop them and then you would all of a sudden find yourself on the wrong side of the tree and you're like, uh-oh.
That's no good.
Not good, but they fixed that. They fixed that since then. So
they
like
fixed
I said,
the tree falling damage. All right,
they did. They did. That's what it's called in the notes in the change log. Is you know fixed tree fall damage. It was what it was. I was like, okay.
Well, I have this game as well. I am also hopeful that it will continue to improve. And I think it's
no. Wait until you get through with Valhalla and you've had a little bit of time to
okay.
You know, to play other games and then come back to this. I don't think you're going to be able to step into this world without.
Because that game's really good, by the way. I haven't talked about it here on the show much, but the new Assassin's Creed is my jam. It's very good.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and this game's $29.99, and I can't say at this point, I can't say that I would buy it at $29.99. Yeah. I got this for a game review code. And so I wouldn't buy it at that price. Not right now.
Me neither.
In the coming months, if they finished working some stuff out, or if you see it on sale, might be worth it. I'm just like I said, I've got hope.
Give us some time. I get it. I totally get it. All right. Now, let me tell you about a new game I played. And by the way, that game was again called Rune 2 Decapitation Edition. And it's available on Steam, the Epic Game Store. And I think that's it for now. Right,
I think it's this PC right now. Get that right, and then you can move on somewhere else.
All right, the game I played, in addition to my other game this last week when I had some time, was Descenders. I do not know if you are familiar with Descenders, but I'm going to tell you all about it.
I've seen it, and I was tempted.
You should be tempted. It's a very tempting game in lots of ways. I'm going to go ahead and just say right now, the person that's playing this video annoys me because they choose to play it in first person mode, which is annoying.
First person mode.
I really like it in not first person mode. Because first person mode is
you like
weird.
Being trail cam, right? You like to see far
I
behind.
I like to see my dude. Plus, you unlock skins and things. What's the point of having skins if you can't see yourself? I don't understand that. But anyway, it's a game where, as you can see in the video, those are watching. For those at home, I'll describe it briefly. Even on its surface, it just looks like a downhill BMX race thing. So it's dirt tracks and jumps and stuff, and you're riding a tricked out BMX bike.
Yeah.
And the overworld map is a little bit like FTL. It's like a kind of strange that way because let me start this over. There's no one run that's the same. So this is randomized every time you do it. The levels themselves are generated on the fly. So right before you get in, it's generating a new level. None of these are pre-designed or whatever. Usually that can mean some problems, but I haven't really had a dud yet. They've all been great and worked fine. No glitches or bugs. And then you go, try not to wreck, do as many tricks as you can. There's sub-quests like do five flips on this run or do three kick outs or whatever it is, whatever the trick is. You try to do those along with also just surviving the run. And then you'll get a bunch of points for that and currency to unlock skins and bikes and other stuff. And that's the game. Like, it's a roguelike with this. Like, it's you racing down a hill on a bike, but it's roguelike mechanics.
Right.
Which, again, I'm always attracted to. This is on Game Pass currently, so free for the, or not free, but available there if you're a Game Pass subscriber. It's also available on Switch and Steam, PlayStation, Xbox, everything. Everyone's got it. It's made by a small team. Actually came out May 7th of last year. I think that may have been early access time, but I'm not sure. It's in full release now. And it's just really fun and repeatable. Like, just get in and go. Now, I only have one complaint. It doesn't seem very well optimized for any of the console versions. The Switch version is actually pretty choppy. Which is unfortunate. I don't know that it needs to be, but it is. The draw distance isn't great and some other stuff. The Xbox Series X version is fine, except the frame rate's not great. So it just feels like it's unoptimized for that. There's no reason why it shouldn't run smooth as pie on that. And the PC version seems to run really smooth, but it has these weird occasional hitches. So it's not perfect, a little rough around some of the edges, but the actual gameplay is pretty rad. And everywhere you can review it, it's enjoying like stellar reviews, overwhelmingly positive on Steam right now and stuff like that. I really like it. This is a very cool game. I don't have it on Switch, but I have to think that would be a really fun thing to be able to take with you. Again, I don't recommend this first-person mode. I don't know why he's doing that, but I guess it's visceral and whatever. But
they've popped in and out a couple of times. I don't know if they're trying to experience everything or not, but they even ran into those hay bales and it made me laugh.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
They hit those hay bales. They stopped.
Yeah, they didn't seem to. Those hay bales did not. We're not playing around. They were serious.
No.
The other thing is the actual physics of it feels great. I think that's the big kicker here. Is what makes this thing fun.
Yeah.
Is just this really frenetic kind of feeling to your bike that you're actually doing well, and you know, I don't know. There's just a really cool feeling to it. The wipeouts are super spectacular. And you just try to go as far as you can, and if you end up dying after your three shots or whatever, you go back, spend some of your currency, get a cooler bike, do whatever, go back, run it again. And I like it, so I'm going to recommend it. It's Descenders. Yep, made by the way, Rage Squid, published by No More Robots, which seems like a bad idea because there will always be robots. So that's a dumb thing to name your company.
Don't announce that to the robots.
No.
I mean,
no,
come on.
Don't do that. $24.99. Also, like I said, on Game Pass, so available there if you just want to play it. And again, like I said, the PC version has no frame rate issues. Xbox version does, but for no reason. Like it's weird. I think they just need to do some kind of optimization pass on it. I don't know what. It's just weird. But it's also a very small team with a very small project that just happens to really hit its mark, in my opinion. So
right, yeah.
Check it out, see if you enjoy it, and let us know. That's Descenders, available now. All right, Brian, tell me about Sea of Solitude, which I played once and I don't remember shit. So tell me how it works.
Exactly. Sea of Solitude, I've seen it out there before. It looks beautiful, graphic-wise. It intrigues me because there's a giant monster fish on the front of the art. And I'm like, I want to play this. And I've avoided it because it's mostly been the price I didn't want to pay, which was like $20-$30, and or you had to have the EA Play. Well, good news. Xbox now has part of the Game Pass, they have library for the EA Play. And this was in it. Sea of Solitude came out in 2019, mid-year. And it is a story driven adventure game. You do some exploring and you get et a lot. You see me just get et in that video?
You? Is this if you, you're by watching. The way? Is it you playing?
This is me playing. Right. Okay. This is me playing. So you show up, you're K, you show up on a boat or like a little dinghy, and you're covered in bird feathers and you're black. So essentially you're like this little monster. So every character in here in the real world is a human or is somebody in relationship to this character named Kay. And everybody is a monster. Some monsters remain monsters throughout the entire story, and some are friendlies, such as family and a smaller brother. And that's one of the things that you have to do. You have to encounter these monsters, and you have to determine whether or not you're going to interact with them in a way that will resolve their issues, which you're going to, because the game forces you to. Sure. It's really about insecurities, bullying, all these, you know, elements of despair that can create solitude, that can create this thing where you separate yourself from relationships, and that's what it's exploring psychologically.
Oh, it's like a COVID story for our times.
Right. But, you know, in the game, you're actually exploring this underwater town where locations that you've in your memories. And in the water level, it varies. And you have to do a lot of platform jumping. And one of your main obstacles is generally that little sea monster that you see in most of the box art and stuff. And oh, man. It's intense. I call this a butthole clenching game because generally what you do is you can watch this monster. You hold the X button and it will monitor where the monster is in relation to you and around the buildings that you're at that are underwater. And you have to time it just right to jump to the next platform. And then if you don't quite make it, which happens a lot, then you have to swim. And that monster comes fast, man. As soon as you hit the water, as soon as those feet hit the water, here comes that monster. And the timer is off. What you're doing as you're going around is you're trying to reveal the story of what's going on. Because you're not quite sure why you're here. It's very dreamlike in that manner. And you're coming across bits of light. Balls of light, one of them you call glowy, and you have to remove this contamination that is on the character. So you have to find those and then pull them away. And the way you find them is you have a flare that you can send out, and that flare will send you in the direction you need to go into. So there's a lot of exploration in this game, storytelling, exploration. Short game, 5 hours. Probably reason why you don't remember much about it. And it starts off really strong, and the first thing you do when you address your relationship with your brother. Oh, by the way, this is a glitch.
Is this a glitch? I was going to say, you're like hovering around. It's really weird.
It freaked me out when I did it because I don't know how I did it. I don't know how I glitched it out, but I was like, it's so weird. I'm just like morphed through the, you know, I'm Kitty Pryde. I'm just like halfway in between the building.
Yeah, this is very weird. There we go. It cleared
But it's got really interesting voice acting. Some of us over the top, but I kind of enjoy that. And Sea of Solitude. I mean, if you want a good, if you got a Saturday to, you know, kind of just chill out and play this game or play in a couple of 2 hour sessions or whatever, it's been a really interesting ride. It takes you along. You can't get too lost because the flare you can throw up, and you just kind of have to figure out how to get from one area to the next in your exploration. And you keep meeting all these really interesting monsters. I just love the art style. I think
what my memory of this is actually coming from that E3 where they showed it off. And I remember being
probably
at the time they were really focused on this game is more than just an adventure. It's a look into the mind of a person who's going through stuff and then what it feels like to have the beer.
I'll be honest with you that it kind of falls a little, it gets a little convoluted and you get a lot of teases in this. There's little side, there's like a little side quest that you're doing as you're going along. You're trying to collect these messages in a bottle where someone has previously already ran this gauntlet. So I guess it matches their, you know, reality.
Sure.
And anyway, you do that. And there's also birds you have to shoo away that are like perched in different areas. You can hear them. You're like, oh, I hear a bird.
Freaking
you have to
birds,
find them,
dude.
And shoo them away. But I'll tell you, sometimes it gets really intense. Some spots are like, oh my God, this is the best. And the other parts, you're just kind of like, I really feel like you're trying too hard, maybe. But overall, like I said, is if you already had the Xbox Game Pass or you have the EA Play stuff, and right now it's like $5 on a lot of places for purchase. I think you can buy it just about anywhere, like Steam or where's other places? Amazon Prime has, I think, for $5. Like it's like $5 just about everywhere right now. And it's about a 5 hour game. And the, when you encounter, when you go to the school, if you don't do anything, at least play until you get to the school and deal with the bullies, because that was the most fun, I think, for me, trying to...
dealing with those bullies, man.
Yeah, outsmarting the bullies, because you have to like run around them, and they're really creepy the way they come at you. All right. I screamed a couple of times.
You sold me.
It was intense.
I'm going to try it out. I have no reason not to. I have Game Pass. Yeah. Sea of Solitude. Check it out. Available now. Okay. Now this.
It's a me, Mario.
Check it out. Time for us to play Guess My Game. We play a sound clip from an old game, and we try to guess what it is. I'm going to start, because that's what I do. And I'm going to tell you a hint, and that's all you'll get. It is from the year 1994.
The year 1994.
Yeah, it's the year you could have won. You could have sometime that year could have warned OJ not to kill those people. You know,
he's innocent.
Yeah, that's how long ago this was. So enjoy and see if you can figure out what it is. I also say it's very ugly. Okay, I'm just going to put it out there that it's really ugly now. So maybe at the time we didn't think so, but it sure is ugly, just objectively. So here it is.
Final round. Fight.
You know it?
Yeah.
Hold it.
All right, guesses, thoughts.
It's a fighter game, right?
Yep.
I mean, 1994. Yep. It is. I'm getting confused with another one, but that would be too early for that game. But I've definitely played this game. These sound bites are in my head.
I should say technically it hit arcades in 94, but you would have.
Is it one you've been? Is it one that I was tagged in? Recently.
Oh, I don't know.
On Twitter.
Were you today?
Was it Tekken? No, it wasn't Tekken. Tekken 1. It was the one that they always tagged in.
Mm.
It wasn't Tekken.
Was it not Tekken 1? I don't know.
Was it Tekken 1? Is it Tekken 1?
Was it? Yep, it was. It totally was. It was Tekken 1.
Yeah.
Tekken 1 looks like shit. It looks real bad. So
that's funny, because I remember you, because somebody tagged me in the Twitter post, and they said, yeah, Ibit and me were, Scott said he hadn't seen anything uglier than that. And he said, but he works with Brian in Coverville.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah. It's so ugly.
God, that's freaky. Look how high those legs are, man.
It's really bad. Her shins come out before her knees do. Like, it's just bad. And that's the pre-rendered stuff. That's like the high fancy film business.
Oh my God.
It's really bad. You should go watch that whole cinematic intro, everybody listening, just to be reminded how far we've come since those early days. Now, the actual game of Tekken was pretty great, and I still really like Tekken.
Yeah.
But ooh, it's a bad game.
Even the more recent ones they look a lot better.
Oh, a hell of a lot.
The characters are still ugly though, man. Those are always the ugliest character designs.
They do. The way they punch and kick and fall, it's all very weird, but it's a fun game. I give them that.
It is fun. It is a lot of fun.
All right. Brian, I'm going to play yours now. No idea what this is. Any hints for me before we play it?
Well, I got this on the Dreamcast. The year was 1999. Prince said that we were going to party like it. And by God, we did.
Yep. We sure did. We should do it again. All right, here it is. 1 2 3 4 5 6 7 8 It was a boxing game.
Yeah, everybody had it, man. I loved this game. I totally forgot about it. It just happened across the other day when I was looking at some Dreamcast stuff.
Ready, rumble, ready.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Oh, ready to rumble. Ready to rumble. Is that it?
That's it.
That game was like, it was great because it was super cartoony and was sort of like, hey, what if they sort of made a Super Punch-Out looking thing, but modern graphics and all that. It looked great.
God, I love that game. I played it hardcore, and then I just stopped. It was one of those games where it was everything in life, and then you just stopped, and for some reason you just never come back. I don't, that's
21 years later, you just don't even care about it, except now we're talking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have plenty of games like that. But yeah, Ready to Rumble was great. There was a sequel too, I believe. And what else did they
Rumbler?
Yeah, and there was all this talk about which version looked better, that version or the upcoming
Dreamcast.
Yeah, the Dreamcast version or the upcoming PS2 version. Pretty sure the PS2 version was better, but I was super on the Dreamcast side of things back then.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, I love that thing. I love my Dreamcast. I don't have it anymore. I still have the little memory unit though, wherever that is.
Yeah, you can have those VMUs, baby.
Yeah, I don't know where that is now. And it probably is dead and does nothing. I'm sure it does. Battery can't be alive, but them's were the days, man. Them's were the days. All right. Well, that was fun. Did you guess mine? I can't remember now.
I did. Tekken 1. Yeah.
Sorry. You know, you leave for a week and you forget how to do all of it.
Man, my brain has been so fried the last couple of weeks, so it's all good.
So we'll see how we do after I play this. Oh, I know that music. That means we have to read this email. This is an email sent to the show via the email address, which is boopshow@gmail.com. This is from Vitology 11 is his name.
Oh, that's the Pearl Jam album.
Pretty good. Is it? I didn't know that. That's cool.
Vitology is.
I really like their first album. 10, was it? Is that what it's called? 10?
I thought it was self-titled. And then 10 was that the one? I think 10 was just the most popular, right? Is it self-titled later? Oh my God. Now my brain's just giving out.
Here's their discography. First album was called 10. There it is.
Yeah, yeah. And then it must have been self-titled after that.
2006 that right? was self-titled.
Wait, let me see. Yeah, which one I got here? Hold on a second.
So 91 was 10. 93 was Versus. 94 was Vitology. 96. Oh, that one's 10.
That's 10.
Yeah. Great album. I mean, still to this day, just so many hits on that thing. And they're fine. They do good. They had an album this year.
I got that on my vinyl.
They have a new record this year. It's called Gigaton.
It's a couple of good songs. Now, I tell you, over the years, they've gotten to where it's like, it seems like they only have like one or two songs that just really speak to me.
Yeah.
And then the rest of them are kind of like, this is enjoyable, but it's not like the old days.
Yeah, this is true. Oh, wow. They still do well, though. The U.S. charts, they always hit somewhere in the top 3 or 4 or 5.
Did Vitology have like a question or something that we was going to talk about?
Oh, sorry. Here's the email. We got a little sidetracked. That's hitting that time of day for me. All right. He says this. It's a couple of days before Thanksgiving. He's right. It is. So we're in the thick of Black Friday sales, and I really want a PlayStation 5. I've been putting in way too much effort every day trying to follow leads on Twitter and refreshing shopping carts on websites. I tell myself to give up and just walk away and wait a few months when they are easier to grab. But then I see someone playing Demon Souls on Twitch or YouTube, and I'm back to Twitter I go. I even thought I'd upgrade my PC first, then wait and get a PS5 sometime next year. But video cards are also sold out. As of today, where do you stand on getting a PlayStation 5? Did you already get one, and are you waiting for more games or deals? If you are waiting, how long do you think you'll wait? As always, love what you guys do. Vitology 11. Well, Vitology 11, I'm pretty sure at some point during the generation I will own a PlayStation 5. However, right now I am not motivated, mainly because PlayStation wants me to do the old-fashioned buy an expensive console and then go buy a $70 game to play on it. And then if I want to, pay another $70. And if I want to play a collection of older games, sure, I can get PlayStation Plus. But if you're apples to apples here, right now Microsoft has the way better value proposition. So,
right.
So ask me this question later. But right now, I am in no rush to get a PlayStation 5. That's where my head's at.
I absolutely, Vitology, I feel you. I felt the same way. I'm like, okay, it's hard to get any type of decent GPU. I really just made somewhat of a ladder. I mean, I didn't really move up much from where I was at. And that's kind of where we're at right now. I mean, even the PS5, which is an amazing system, has got some bugs that they're still working on. PS4 Pro still is great, and a lot of the games they have are, you know, going that direction. Sony's going to support the thing for years, so I mean, I'm in no hurry to be the first on that PS5 train. I want it. Now don't get me wrong.
Everybody
if I was at the Walmart
it.
Like I was at that Series S,
right?
And it was in stock. I'm picking that puppy up.
We all want everything to have everything. I get it. And I'm with you there, Vitology. But I think you can wait a little bit. You'll be okay. And you got a good gaming PC. It's decent. You're doing all right with that? He didn't say how he's doing on the PC other than he's trying
to get it. He's got a 970 in his PC. So that's not bad at all.
That's not bad. You can do plenty with that. Wait, how do you know he has a 970? Oh, he's in the chat.
Chat room. I'm psychic.
I didn't say
I can feel it.
Yeah. I think you're going to be okay. But then again, if something pops and you're sure you're getting one, then just grab it. But I wouldn't stress about it.
I'll be honest with you. I don't even know what games are absolutely exclusive to any of these consoles right now that makes me go, I have no choice. Because, I mean, you can get the Spider-Man Miles Morales game on the PS4 Pro, right?
I'm sure
it's going to look a little better on the PS5, but Demon's Souls, I mean,
Demon's Souls will definitely look better than the PS3 game it's being remade from, but I don't know that those are enough for me. Like, I'm not a Souls-like guy anyway, so those aren't my jam. What I want in exclusives,
excitement.
What I want in exclusives we haven't seen yet. So when we start seeing those hit, then come talk to me. Miles Morales is as close as I've gotten to an exclusive that tempts me.
Right.
But I also played the hell out of Spider-Man, and I think I'm good for a bit. So, I'm not in any rush, but I'm sure.
With that said, Vitology, I've sat there on the Walmart page refreshing.
Oh, we've all done the nightmare scenario you're describing. That's why I'm saying maybe back away from it and don't kill yourself because it's lame.
Yeah, that's kind of where I finally got. I was like, you know what? It's not that. I'm definitely not going Black Friday because they're like the next time that most of these stores are talking, they're like, yeah, Black Friday. I'm like, no, thanks. I wouldn't go on a Black Friday in a normal year for that kind of one or two.
Yeah.
Our GameStop told me they said they're going to have two each
Liars.
For Black Friday. Liars. I'm like, psh.
It's not worth it. What are you going to do? Go in there and get a big fat case of COVID and get your console and fight over two consoles with 1,000 people?
Two consoles? There's going to be 100 people there.
Yeah. F it. It's like Jingle All the Way, except worse. Don't go.
Yeah.
All right. Send us your emails. Boopshow@gmail.com. We'd love to get more of these. And don't forget our website, Boopshow, or the Boopshow can be found over at frogpants.com/BOOP. That's Boop. Yeah, that's right. Boop.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah.
If you do happen to have an extra PS5 or an Xbox Series S, you know.
X, you mean?
X, yeah, X. Yeah.
Let Brian
clarify
know.
That.
Yeah.
You know, and you know what? You know, I'm here.
Yeah, Brian,
here.
If you got just one laying around, you know. You're not doing anything.
I mean, I'll pay for it if you have access to it.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Right. He's not asking for freebies here. He's saying.
No. I'm saying if you had two.
Yeah.
Because you're a scalper and you wanted to sell one at retail price.
Yeah. Give up on that one scalp job and help a guy out. Help a friend out.
That's
what I want you to do. Death to scalpers. All right, there you go. That's the show. Thank you all for being here. We're on Twitter at Boop Show. You can also find Brian at the Brian Dunaway, and you can find me at Scott Johnson. We'll be back next week with a whole nother episode of this show. And between now and then, if you have any thoughts on games you'd like to hear about or have us play or things you think we'd like, we'd love hearing from you. Boopshow@gmail.com. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian. No, we're not doing film sack. For me and for Brian. I'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.